brothers and sisters, I don't know if you'd call it a game, but I think we've all done it before where you're told, close your eyes and open your eyes. You know how that works. Okay, and when you close your eyes, unless it's something like hide and seek, you open your eyes, there's always anticipation, there's always excitement, because you realize that when you open your eyes, there's going to be something there that's not going to let you down. I'll give you an example. Okay, boyfriend, girlfriend, you've been dating for years, and all of a sudden, you come on a night, an evening, a beautiful evening, walking across a bridge, stream underneath it, and all of a sudden, boyfriend turns to the girlfriend and says, close your eyes. Close your eyes. So as a girlfriend, there you are. Okay, you finally say, it's been years, it's time. Okay, so you close your eyes, your heart starts beating faster and faster and faster, and all of a sudden you envision when you open your eyes, there, you're going to see your boyfriend down on his knee, all of a sudden diamond in his hand, diamond ring, and saying, will you marry me? And so your boyfriend tells you to open your eyes, and we'll come back to that later on. Okay? But in the gospel of today, I want you to really think about this. Every time the blind or the rich man opens his eyes, who does he see? Who is it? It's always Lazarus. He goes out his door, Lazarus. Comes through his door, Lazarus. Out the gate, Lazarus. Closes through the gate, Lazarus. Okay, we realize it's always Lazarus. Even in death, he's on the wrong side of the chasm. But when he opens his eyes, who does he see? He sees who? Lazarus. And yet we realize for this rich man, Lazarus isn't in his league. As a matter of fact, even on the wrong end of the chasm spectrum, he sees Lazarus as nothing more than an errand boy. I want you to listen to what he says. This is what the rich man says. Okay, hey, Abraham. Tell Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue, for I'm in torment. How many of you would like to do that? Go put your finger in water and go put it in someone's mouth. Okay? That's what he's telling him to do. He also says this. Hey, Abraham, have Lazarus go to my father's house where I have five brothers so that he may warn them. So Lazarus, seen in the blessed light, is nothing more than someone to serve. Me alone. Okay? And so let's stick with this rich man for a moment, and then we're going to switch gears, and we're going to look at Lazarus. Well, let's look at our first reading of today, okay? Remember the first reading of last week. They really kind of intertwine here today. When we think about the first reading of last week, we thought about people who were in the business of buying, trading, and selling. And for all we know, that's how the rich man made his wealth. Okay, that's how he did it. So let's go back to what we learned a little bit last week about someone who was in this business of buying, trading, and selling. First reading of last week, we learned this, that they despised the Sabbath and the new moon because the law said this, there is no trading allowed on those days. They couldn't wait. They chomped at the bit for these days to be over. Okay, but when they were open and they were open for business, we heard these types of things. First of all, we talked about this, the ephah is diminished. The ephah I mentioned last week is a dry measure of grain. Easy way to explain it. One bushel of wheat is 60 pounds. You pay for 60 pounds, and when you go home, you realize you've been shafted because you actually weigh it, and it weighs 58 pounds. Okay? All right? The other one was this, they add to the shekel going to the other end. I mentioned last week, think about a double-balanced scale. Two pans, you got it? On this side is the shekel. On this side, you add your silver. That's how you measured silver. The universal measure of a shekel was 6 ounces. But you wanted a little bit more silver. So you moved it up to 7. So what did that mean? If you were trying to buy and you had to balance that scale, it meant more silver from your pockets. Okay, do you see the cheating, the dishonesty, the lying? And yet, we learn today, they live a great life. These are the things that we heard. Purple garments, fine linen, beds made of ivory. How many of you, by the way, sleep in an ivory bed? Anybody? All right? Being able to stretch out comfortably on couches. Who knows how many he had? When it comes to dining sumptuously, we hear that the meal choices are abundant. We have lambs taken from the flock, not just one lamb, and calves from the stall, not just one calf. That is the rich man. Now, on the opposite side, we have Lazarus, and we have to say this. He has nothing. He doesn't have a penny in his pocket. He's got nothing to go to buy, to trade, to sell. He's got nothing. All he's got is the cloak on him, and it's torn, it's ripped, it stinks, and it's dirty. He's got nothing. Oh, he's got one thing, no friends. But he's got Max the black lab who comes and licks his sores and wounds. Let's stay with Max for a minute. Speaking of that, think about eating at table. We have food on our tables. How lucky are we? Think about this, though. Something is brought to the kitchen table and you despise it. You hate it. You can't stand it. Okay? And all of a sudden, what do you think? Well, there's Max over there. So what do you say secretly? Hey, Max, come on over here. I got something for you. Put it on a plate. Lean it over. Max sniffs it and he runs away from it. He won't even eat it. That's Lazarus. That's what he wants. He's got nothing. He wants scrap. Okay? And the question I had to ask myself this week was this. Why does Lazarus stay at this man's door? Why not go someplace else where he's got a better shot? There's some plausible answers I could give to that. I'll give you three today. Here they are. Number one, the distance to another's home who could provide is too distant. Imagine not eating something for a long period of time and have to walk miles. Number two, the rich man may have allowed him to stay, albeit only at his door. Don't come in. He may have tried the homes of others only to be told, get lost. Number three, the rich man may have even conversed with Lazarus from time to time. After all, when we both have died, the rich man calls Lazarus by name. He said this, send Lazarus. The rich man knew him. It seems clear then. This rich man isn't bad, cruel, violent, or evil. Still, a man who did no harm ends up on the wrong side of the chasm. How can this be? This is how it happens. Let's go back to where we all started. Okay? There you are, girlfriend. Heart's a pumping and it's a beating and it's a beating and it's a beating. And all of a sudden, your boyfriend says, open your eyes. And when you open your eyes, he has in front of your eyes two tickets. And the two tickets are to this, WWE, WrestleMania 26. What do you say? Well, here are some of the things I think you might say. This is better than a ring. Is it anger? A we need to talk moment? Or because you love your boyfriend, you go along saying, oh, how nice, I can't wait, even though you really want to say, have you lost your mind? But do you get it? Here it is. It's something. It's something. Okay, got it? It's something. That's what doomed the rich man. There was nothing. And that's the story of Lazarus. Whenever he opened his eyes, there was nothing. It was like this center aisle. No one, nothing, nothing. So I think in closing today, it's pretty clear what we got to do this week. Open our eyes, see, ask ourselves, what do we see? Who do we see? And when we see, stick out that hand. May that hand that people see be the hand of Jesus Christ. That's our work. That's our work. Open those eyes and see and be the hand. All right? Got it? Let's get to it. Let's close with our sign of the cross this week. In the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.